This is episode 2 of the Game Day Cube NHL show. We are doing a breakdown of the NHL Metropolitan Division from their offseason and the big moves that happened in offseason. We'll start out with the notable news of the moves that happened with particular teams. The Carolina Hurricanes brought in Zingle and Mrazek and matched the offer sheet of the Montreal Canadiens for Aho. The Columbus Blue Jackets bring in Nyquist. Not really an exact replacement for losing a guy like Panarin, but that's who they were able to bring in. The Islanders, Lee and Varlamov. The Pittsburgh brings in Tenev. The Rangers get one of the big fishes of the offseason in Panarin. And New Jersey brings in Simmons, who is finally off Philadelphia on to a new club as New Jersey hopes to rebound after a very disappointing year, but they have some major question marks as well. Now, the odds to win the division, the Capitals and Penguins have the best odds right now, and then the second best odds are split between the Islanders, the Hurricanes, the Rangers, and the Devils. So a lot of uncertainty in regards, at least for regards to Vegas and where this division is going to fall. Philadelphia has the 7th best odds to win the East at 20-1. And then you have Columbus after losing their star goaltender and Panarin. They are 40-1 is the odds to win the East, which means they are going to likely struggle big time this year. Tough break for the Columbus Blue Jackets, in my opinion, if you ask me. Okay, starting this out, hoping to stay in alphabetical order. The Carolina Hurricanes, this offseason, again, were able to match the offer sheet that the Montreal Canadiens put out for Sebastian Aho. Aho will make slightly under $8.5 million per year. And they were able to do that based on a 5-year deal. Obviously, Aho, if he would have hit the open market, would have been $10 million plus. So the Canadiens actually gave them, Carolina a favor almost. So Aho will, you can pencil him in as the number one center for the Hurricanes going forward. The Hurricanes were looking at possibly improving between the pipes, but they will stick with Peter Mrazek. Other than that, there wasn't any major moves that happened. They still have some young players that could come up through the pipeline. The team in general should be happy with where things are right now. Again, remember they kind of shocked a lot of people last year with what they were able to accomplish. Now the big question is, can they do it again this year? The Columbus Blue Jackets will obviously have a very difficult year, losing Panarin and Bobrovsky, two pillars of the franchise. And they also lost Matt Duchene to Nashville. So the Blue Jackets do have a tough uphill climb for them coming up this year. They bring in Gustav Nyquist, which is not a terrible deal. 4 years, $5.5 million. So he should help at least soften the blow somewhat. They hope one of their young goaltenders steps in and is able to not replace Bobrovsky, but at least not make things not fall completely off the cliff. But Columbus in this division, as competitive as it is, will likely find themselves closer to the bottom than they are to the top. So, I wouldn't call it a rebuild. I would call it they're probably in the middle of a retool, and then they'll have to see where things land from there going forward. The Islanders went and tried to bring in Panarin and Bobrovsky in the off season, as they were, 2 years away from their new arena in Belmont Park. So, and they have a team that seems capable of making a run to win the East this season. They re-signed Anders Lee, 7 years, $7 million per year. They move on from Robin Leonard, who is now in Chicago, and signed Semyon Varlamov for 4 years, $20 million. So this Islanders team hopes to be still strong in net with Varlamov as they were Robin Leonard. That will be a major key if they're able to continue where their winning ways and the success that they had this last off season. So that's something to definitely take a look at in regards to the Islanders and see whether they're able to accomplish that or whether things might fall off the rails, so to speak, or in a place that they may not necessarily be happy with. The Rangers got the one of the big fishes in the offseason, as we mentioned, and Panarin. It's 11 million plus for 7 years, a huge deal for one of the top offensive players in the league. Kaapo Kakko is a favorite to win Rookie of the Year, as he will begin his first full season with the club. They also get Jacob Trouba to improve their defense. The Rangers weren't terrible last year. They did play halfway decent. The big question is how much more can they get out of King Henry, and how well their younger talent improves, or how fast it improves, like a Kaapo Kakko, in regards to where they may land or if they're actually a playoff contender. The Philadelphia Flyers brought in Kevin Hayes, 7 years, $50 million. That was their big splash in free agency. Matt Niskanen, excuse me, was brought in as to add depth on the defense. They were a playoff team 2 years ago. It didn't go right last year for whatever reason. Another team that could, like New Jersey, bounce back and be a playoff team again this year. They need some things to go right. They need to play better than they did last year. They had stretches where they did play very well during the season, but they got off to such a bad start that they weren't able to really turn it around and make a run at the playoffs. So we'll see what happens with the Flyers this season. The see, let me make sure I'm in alphabetical order. Penguins. The Penguins moved Phil Kessel for salary cap reasons. They bring in Galchenyuk and hope that he can be the player everybody thought he was going to end up being. Maybe playing alongside Crosby and Malcolm can bring the best out of Gajelnik, possibly not. That will be a big key in regards to whether they can replace the offensive output that Kessel brought to the team. They lose Ole Mantta, but replace him with Dominic Cahoon. So that is something that isn't necessarily a wash, but the Penguins will have to do what they can do, what they have. Now, the big thing with the Penguins is what they can do in regards to staying healthy. More importantly, do they have the hunger and desire to make another deep run in the playoffs? The Islanders, you know, the sweep that the Islanders put down on last playoffs had to be very bitter for a prideful veteran team like the Penguins. So, big question for the Penguins is, can they bounce back? The Devils of New Jersey have to figure out what they're going to do in regards to re-signing Taylor Hall and whether he wants to stay there. Now, their big splash was Jack Hughes. You can pencil him in right away in the first line this season. So Jack Hughes should immediately bring them offensive punch. I like the move for Wayne Simmonds. He is a solid veteran. He can still put the puck in the net and should soften or should prevent the Devils from having some of the issues they had last year in regards to just not really showing up the games. Wayne Simmonds will help push the Devils to where they necessarily want to be in regards to how they play on a daily or nightly basis, or every other night, depending on how their schedule is. PK Subban also came over in a trade as Nashville dumped salary in regards to trying to bring in Matt Duchene, which was successful. So PK Subban, one of the better defensemen in the league, will provide definitely scoring punch. He can give you 40-50 points per season. You can pencil him in on the blue line. He's rarely ever hurt. He's going to, you know, play 75 to 80 games. So he is definitely a major addition to the Devils, and I think a good addition, if you ask me, to what the Devils want to accomplish this upcoming season. The Capitals, now a year removed from the Stanley Cup, decided to move on from Andre Burakovsky, Brett Conley, Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik, Devontae Smith-Pelly, all will be either have all retired, well, in Orpik's case, retired, or have moved on to other places. Smith-Pelly, will probably end up on another club. I don't think he's signed yet with anybody. The Caps could not afford Conley, who got a bigger contract someplace else. And Burakovsky and Niskanen were cap casualty, so they traded them to provide cap space, as they expect that they're going to have some money on hand for new deals for Brandon Holtby and Nicklas Backstrom. the Capitals brought in Radko Gudas, Richard Panik, and Garnett Halfway. I don't think they improved. I think they might have probably just kind of retooled. I mean, they will go as far as, you know, guys like Backstrom and Ovechkin and others take them. But in the drive, you know, once you finally get over the hump and get the cup, do you want to do it again? Are you driven to do it again? That's something that the Capitals will have to deal with going forward in the second season of, you know, second season removed of winning the Stanley Cup. If you look at where things land and where things sit in regards to the teams in the division, I'm kind of leaning to the fact that this division might be a little bit more topsy-turvy and up in the air. I kind of like the Islanders. I like the way they played last year to be the team to beat in the division. I also think that I actually think New York or New Jersey, one of those two will emerge as another serious contender in the division. I think it's hard to bet against Sidney Crosby's side with Pittsburgh as one of the three or four teams, and then you have Ovechkin and the Capitals. Columbus is clearly going to be last. It is very, very close. There's not a lot separating the other seven teams. I think you can make a case for all seven to making the playoffs this season. And in the last year, all seven have made the playoffs. So I find the Metropolitan Division maybe one of the most competitive, more interesting divisions going into next season, the way things are, and based on the moves that were made this off season and the way in the draft itself, especially when a talent like Jack Hughes is now also in this division with the Devils. So the Devils can sport Jack Hughes and Taylor Hall. Pittsburgh can still sport Malkin and Crosby. You know what the Capitals bring. You have the Carolina Hurricanes who can sport Aho, and that's a lot of firepower in one division. The Islanders with their young talent, with Lee and their group. It's going to be a fascinating division, which could go either way. The Rangers are now have Panarin and Capo, so it's almost an arms race of young talent, top lines. I think staying healthy will be important in this division. I think the success of your second and third lines is going to be important in this division, and goaltending ultimately will be huge in deciding who emerges as a club of reckoning in the Metropolitan Division going into this season. So that is where the Metropolitan Division stands. We will return with the Western Conference Divisions on Episode 3, which should come out, I'd say, early next week. Probably end up doing both divisions in the same podcast, considering we breezed through the Metropolitan Division pretty quickly in this podcast. Anyway, we will take a short break, and then we will come right back with some final thoughts on the NHL this week. So we'll be right back.
Do you have a website that you're looking to maximize traffic to, generate additional leads, and increase revenue? Well, let me tell you, Buffalo Marketing Company is a digital marketing agency that can help you. The agency develops digital marketing strategies that involve, but not limited to, search engine optimization, social media campaigns, website design, and branding. Go to buffalomarketing.company today to find out more. Now back to the show.
All right, we are back. Other notable news that happened this week. The Avalanche has signed JT Compher to a 4-year contract. The deal was worth an annual average of $3.5 million, according to The Athletic. So that provides the Avalanche with a little bit more... Miles is going to be a little bit more versatile among their forwards as they continue to improve on the team that made the playoffs last year. Remember, Nazem Kadri, Andrei Burakovsky, and Pierre Edouard Bellemare all were brought in this offseason by the Avalanche. The Seattle NHL franchise has brought in their first general manager, and that first general manager is Ron Francis. So Ron Francis will be in charge of formalizing this team that Seattle will be building as Seattle will enter the league in the 2021-2022 season. Ron Francis himself has previously was the GM in Carolina for 4 seasons. They did not make the playoffs in any of the 4 series that Ron Francis was at, was the GM there in Carolina, but a lot of his moves provided the opportunity for Carolina's success this past season when they made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So Seattle's definitely hoping that Francis will be able to duplicate that success for them. Sad news, former Nashville Predators captain Greg Johnson, who suffered from an apparent suicide, according to the Detroit News. Johnson was found by his wife on July 7th. With a gun and a single bullet were found near him. No suicide note was left. So this, again, appears to be an apparent suicide, but there's still an investigation ongoing. That is very, very sad news. Obviously, when these kind of things happen, the talk in regards to CTE will be brought up in regards to whether he was suffering from that, but at this moment, we only can give our regards and condolences to his wife and the Johnson family. Always sad news to hear when anybody commits suicide, so just not something you want to hear. So again, very, very sad news to hear. That's about it. There's not anything else notable that's going on as we move, as we continue to move through the off season, as we are kind of in the dead period for the NHL. So we will take a break and we will give it a week and we'll be back next week. We'll again talk about any notable news in the league, and we will break down the other 2 divisions. Might do 1 division and then 1 division next week. I haven't necessarily made a decision yet, but we definitely will do the Central Division next week. We might save the Pacific Division for 2 weeks from now, but we'll definitely do the Central Division next week and break down how the offseason's going for those teams. Again, this was the Game Day Cube NHL show. I was your host, Isaac E. And I hope, again, you follow us on Game Day Cube. You follow Game Day Cube on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and on YouTube. And you can find this podcast and many others on GameDayCube.com. I wish you a pleasant week, and we will be back next week. This is Isaac E., and I am signing off.